If you leave L.A. by way of San Bernardino, headed for Route 66 and points east, you must cross the Mojave Desert. Even after needles in the border, however, there is no relief. The dry air only thins further as the long, relentless climb continues in earnest. Flagstaff is still almost 200 miles, and Winslow, Gallup, and Albuquerque are too many hours away to think of making without food, rest, and, mercifully, sleep. It is like this. The car runs hot, hotter than it ever has before. The plies of the tires expand and contract until the sidewalls begin to shimmy slightly as they spin on over the miserable Arizona roads, giving up a faint odor like burning hair from between the treads. As the windshield colors over with essence of honeybee, wasp, dragonfly, mayfly, June bug, ladybug, and the like, and the radiator, clotted with the bodies of countless kamikaze insects, hisses like a moribund lizard in the sun. All of which means, of course, that if you are traveling that way between May and September, you move by night. Only by night. For there are, after all, dawn check-in motels, do-not-disturb signs for bungalow doorknobs. There are diners for mid-afternoon breakfasts, coffee by the carton. There are 24-hour filling stations bright as dreams, Whiting Brothers, Conoco, Terrible Herbst. Their flags as unfamiliar as their names, with ice machines, soda machines, candy machines. And there are the sudden, unexpected rest areas just off the highway, with brick bathrooms and showers and electrical outlets, constructed especially for those who are weary, out of money, behind schedule. So McClay had had to learn the hard way. He slid his hands to the bottom of the steering wheel and peered ahead into the darkness, trying to relax. But the wheel stuck to his fingers like warm candy. Off somewhere to his left, the horizon flickered with pearly luminescence, then faded again to black. This time he did not bother to look. Sometimes, though, he wondered just how far away the lightning was striking. Not once during the night had the sound of its thunder reached him here in the car. In the back seat, his wife moaned. The trip out had turned all but unbearable for her. 4 days it had taken instead of the expected 2.5. He made a great effort not to think of it, but the memory hung over the car like a thunderhead. It had been a blur, a fever dream. Once, on the second day, he had been passed by a churning bus, its silver sides blinding him until he noticed a Mexican woman in one of the window seats. She was not looking at him. She was holding a swooning infant to the glass, squeezing water onto its head from a plastic baby bottle to keep it from passing out. McClay sighed and fingered the buttons on the car radio. He knew he would get nothing from the AM or FM bands, not out here, but he clicked it on anyway. He left the volume and tone controls down so as not to wake Evie. Then he punched the seldom-used middle button, the short wave band, and raised the gain carefully until he could barely hear the radio over the hum of the tires. Static. Slowly, he swept the tuner across the bandwidth, but there was only white noise. It reminded him a little of the summer rain yesterday, starting back, the way it had sounded, bouncing off the windows. He was about to give up when he caught a voice, crackling, drifting in and out. He worked the knob like a safecracker, zeroing in on the signal. A few bars of music, a tone, then the voice again. Greenwich Mean Time, then the station ID. It was the Voice of America, overseas broadcast. He grunted disconsolately and killed it. His wife stirred. "Why'd you turn it off?" she murmured. "I was listening to that good program." "Take it easy," he said. "Easy. You're still asleep. We'll be stopping soon." "Only comes out at night," he heard her say. And then she was lost again in the blankets. He pressed the glove compartment, took out one of the automobile club guides, was already clipped open. McClay flipped on the overhead light and drove with one hand, reading over for the 100th time the list of motels that lay ahead. He knew the list by heart, but seeing the names again reassured him somehow. Besides, it helped to break the monotony. It was the kind of place you never expect to find in the middle of a long night. A bright place, with buildings, a building at least, and cars, other cars, drawn off the highway, to be together in the protective circle of light. A rest area. He would have spotted it without the sign. Elevated sodium vapor lighting bathed the scene in an almost peach-colored glow, strikingly different from the cold blue-white sentinels of the interstate highway. He had seen other rest area signs on the way out, probably even this one, but in daylight the signs had meant nothing more to him than frontage road or business district next right. He wondered if it was the peculiar warmth of light that made the small island of blacktop appear so inviting.